everyone. How's it going? Welcome back to another episode of the Lucky Dip Podcast. This is episode 28. You know, I'm sure by now you know what this is all about. Sometimes we talk business, sometimes we talk esports, creativity, all of that good stuff. Sometimes we have guests on, sometimes you just gotta listen to me. But today's an interesting one, okay? We have a guest on today, and Alex here, I just introduced Alex just now. He was the first ever guest on the podcast back on April 29th. Alex,
hey,
had we even graduated last time you were on the podcast?
You know, I think like we were probably submitting our very last assignments, like straight up. So technically, no, we were still students.
How,
when I was last on the podcast.
Dude, when my time perception is just so off. How long ago was that? Was that like... like eight?
Oh my gosh!
Is that like 8 months ago or something?
How many?
No, that's too long, isn't it?
Well, no, it's December now. So, oh, now the podcast is dated.
No, that's fine. It's got to be
eight months, dude. Yeah. Technically, like seven because it was the end of April and now it's the start of December. But
still,
same thing. Still 8 months.
So, last time that you were on the podcast. And oh yeah, by the way, I should probably do an actual proper introduction because we have more listeners now than we did on the very first episode, which is awesome. But for those of you who don't know, Alex Brody, aka Major League Brody, is the other co-founder of Cryus Gaming. I'm the other co-founder of that. It's an esports organization that we founded back in March, I want to say. And
yeah, March.
Probably March, like officially, I think. Is that when we came with the logo and stuff? Because we're still in that class, right?
So. I would say March. Yeah, it's been a while.
It's right. Yeah. So yeah, we founded that. We have a Rocket League team, and we've been grinding doing that. We have a couple of content creators, and we're looking to do some exciting stuff in the future. We will touch on Cryus. If anybody's listening to this podcast, you know obviously that I talk about Cryus quite a bit. Hopefully, at least. But Alex is the other co-founder, the other voice in everything that goes on behind the scenes. So before we talk about Cryus, though, Alex, how has everything been in the past 8 months since you've been on this podcast?
Oh, man. Like, in the grand scheme of things, 8 months doesn't feel like that much time, but it feels like so much has happened since then without, you know, being back on the podcast. But obviously, for us, we've always been doing things. But yeah, a lot's happened. You know, I moved out of Calgary to pursue a job, and 8 months, well, I guess I started that job a little bit after March. So let's say, like, 6 months later, I quit it because I realized it was taking away from the business, and I love this business too much not to do it. So a lot's happened in short.
A lot has happened.
I've started a job and left a job and moved
to a small town,
technically to the same province, but it's a border city. So
yeah, that's a weird
one. Lloydminster. I don't care if I say it. That's Lloydminster.
Now so, you're gonna get doxxed.
Everyone
who listens in Lloyd,
all our Lloydminster listeners. But so technically I'm in the same province, but I have like I go to Saskatchewan all the time. You know, it's the second home. We follow all their rules for like COVID and stuff too, so I gotta pay attention to it.
Yeah,
so moving here was weird. I guess you can relate. Hey Jordan, just like moving to like a decent distance, it's a lot of work, it takes a lot out. And now I'm trying to move back home, back to Calgary, because that's just where my heart is. I love that city. Surprisingly, I don't think many young people say this, but I love that city. I care about it. So
I've changed my,
back there.
I agree. I've changed my perception. When I was there, because I grew, you know, you moved from Manitoba over to here for school, or by over here, I mean Calgary. But for me, when I grew up there, I was like, Calgary's not that good. I move away as well for a job. Been here for a couple of months. I moved to BC, so different. Alex moved east and I moved west, basically. And I miss Calgary. It's just a nice place. You know, that's where we want to build the business. Calgary is, we think, can turn into like a nice hub for esports, and we have some connections there and stuff. So that's kind of where we actually want to build the business side of things. So hopefully we'll both end up back there soon.
Seriously.
Sooner rather than later, but you'll be there before me.
It's going through a rough patch, but it's a great city. I'll be there next week. I'm very excited. I've not been back to Calgary in a while. I am beyond excited to go back. I got a lot of plans,
and
a lot of activities.
Yes, I think we should also rewind for a second so people don't think that you just quit your job and you're doing Christ full time, because that's not the case. You still you quit your job because it wasn't very good. The hours were nuts. It's not like it's not a fulfilling job. It's like an entry level job. You don't need to explain what it is in grand details, but it's not what you want to be doing after just graduating for much longer than a few months. Hours are nuts. Pay isn't very good for the amount of hours you're working and stuff. And you also have a part-time freelance gig that you're doing with the university
in
graduating.
Calgary.
Exactly.
So it was really hard. The big challenge was gonna and the main reason I did it was a great place. I enjoyed working with a lot of people there. And it was a really good experience. I actually learned a lot, which surprised me. I thought I'd learned it all. But no, the big thing was just managing trips to Calgary on top of working those really long hour shifts. It was just so time consuming. It was so hard to grasp it. So yeah, I still have some other stuff going for me, but it's back in Calgary. So it's the right stuff, I think. And more time to work on Christ in the meantime, for sure, too.
Exactly. Exactly. So we're not stupid, everybody. This hasn't made any money yet. We're not both quitting our jobs and living off of, you know, hopes and dreams. We still have things, and Alex is gonna try to get another job in Calgary once he moves back and all that stuff. So it's not like that. We're not dumb.
No, I just
want to clear that up.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably pretty important for those who don't know me, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Who gets in business with a guy who just quits a job?
I know, after like 6 months of the job, like not your job, I mean 6 months of like our company kind of running and no money coming through, and just go, you know, I think I can just quit and work this full time.
Yeah,
but
why not?
No, we would if we could, and we will eventually.
One
Alex
day.
That's
one
the mindset
day.
We need to keep. We will do it. And now you don't need to say obviously where you worked or anything, but do you want to like describe in like very vague details, like kind of what you did and the crazy hours you worked, just so it gives people a perspective?
Oh, yeah. Well, so I worked like in broadcasting still. Like I got to stay in the industry, but it was kind of one of those tech jobs where you're just in there for long periods of time, making sure everything works properly. I'm definitely not your typical on-camera person, but I'm still more production oriented. So I was doing something like, it was really interesting and unique, but the hours were really, really long. It wasn't even like the quality of the job or the duties. It was like, I was working 11, 12 hour shifts. You got like long periods of time off, but like the hours were also quite ludicrous. The morning shift started at 4 a.m. and the night shift often ended at like just past 2 a.m, sometimes 2:30. So it was just like, it was insane. And
yeah.
It was so hard to manage freelancing and Cryos. And I didn't like, I really, really care more about, you know, the things I'm passionate about.
And I think,
the hours weren't it for sure.
No. And I think the thing is when you work crazy hours like that, nothing lines up, and it's already hard enough that I'm in a different time zone now. So you're an hour ahead of me. And then when you'd have those crazy hours where you're working till 2 a.m. your time, or you're working starting at 4 a.m. like, it just completely messes up everything for our schedules, not just for Cryos, for schedules in general and for freelancing. And I think that another important thing that everybody should understand too is Alex is very good at filming and editing and stuff. Like, that's why we have this kind of creative side of Cryos that we want to start building. We're not doing quite yet because it's all virtual and we don't have the means to do it yet, but that's what we're really good at. I mean, I'm a content producer right now for an app, so we know how to do this stuff. And when Alex is working there doing those crazy hours, like kind of behind the scenes stuff, I think you're much better equipped to do freelancing and all of that. So I think it was a good move.
No, definitely. And yeah, I think the big thing is like creative work and just media. If you want to do it in a way that like satisfies you and like makes you proud, it takes a time commitment. Like a lot of the time commitment comes down to the details, right?
Yeah.
And that's a big thing like that I like to try and focus on, but sometimes I'll be like, oh, I missed a detail there. Oh, I missed a detail there. And just not having that time makes it so hard because it gives you like harsher deadlines and just like less of a means to refine. And you're more just like kind of focused on getting a product out.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, I think a tech job, you don't really have anything to show for that time commitment. Like, yay, I kept something working for 12 hours. Versus, you know, I created something that I'm super proud of and something that I'll be able to visually see as well. So
yeah,
the big thing is just like hours and like time, right? Like time is far more valuable than a wage or even, you know, in some types of experience.
Yeah.
Like it's how you use that time. And just like right now, I think it's a super critical point for that as well. Like, we just graduated university. It's probably like the most ambitious and like crazy time to try and things and stuff like that. And
which we can do. Is,
yeah. And it's part of that is how Cryos, it's how Cryos came about, right? Like that's,
yeah.
It's just like, it's important to pursue that stuff. And I'm super, super stoked to be able to kind of like work on some other opportunities, but also just have that little bit of extra time to focus on the details with stuff we do for Cryos, for sure.
Yeah, I agree. And I also agree, since I also am creative and do that stuff, where I like to see my work so I can look back at like the 75 videos I filmed in the past 2 months, you know, because that's where I guess people who are listening to, like, there's a lot of differences when you can do filming. What Alex is working on are like a lot of projects that take extensive time, and they're like longer projects. And what I'm doing is they're short form videos for an app, like a mobile app in a vertical format. So it's like quick to the, you know, there's still, I still like my videos a lot. It's just completely different types of videos, you know?
Definitely.
But it's, I think, all, yeah, it's all good stuff.
I think being like a media producer, and like when I say media producer, I kind of mean like anybody with a phone in my eyes these
days.
That's
what I use.
Is a media producer. Exactly.
That's what I
use. So like everybody in some capacity is a media producer. And I think like the key to that is trying things, having fun, but also finding like a specialty, like a expertise. But it's important to try all, like all kinds of stuff. Like I do long form projects, but for my final year of university, I did a lightsaber video, right?
I was gonna ask you about that.
Yeah, like it's all about kind of having fun. And like sometimes, like I think like the biggest thing in broadcasting, I'm pretty young still, like I'm only 22, but in the grand scheme of things, like I think every new thing is improvement in some capacity, but every time you look at something and put like your passion and creativity into it, even the flaws, like it still looks amazing, you know? And it's like just like the ownership of creating it and how like the leaps and bounds it, like that content could go to help people or engage people, right? Like
exactly,
that's the best part, and anybody can do it. That's the other really interesting part that's like different, is like nowadays, like you don't need to spend $5,000 on a broadcast camera. Like obviously there's perks and benefits. There's so much equipment I wish I could have, but
yeah,
our phones, like it's insane. You can do so much now. So there's the only barrier once again for me was time. And I think like it's super cool that anybody can be a media producer.
Yeah. And I think though, with that said, yeah, anybody can pick up the camera and do it, but not everybody can make what we make still, you know what I mean? Like you can grab your phone and try to film what it is, but like the way that I formulate the story and like write the accompanying articles and do certain filming techniques, a lot of people might not know how to do that. You can still whip out your phone and like make a fun TikTok, and that's great, and that is creating media. It's just different mediums within media that I think it takes people like us who are more trained. And you can learn this. You don't need to go to school like we did to learn it. You can, honestly, we probably learned more editing stuff just searching up YouTube videos for our final projects than we did in school from those classes. But, you know, it sometimes it takes like that creative and that knowledge, creativity and knowledge rather, to like put something together that formulates a good story and conveys that message. But I agree. Exactly. Like I literally use my phone. That's my device for portraying stories is my phone, with some accessories, obviously. You know, I don't just have my phone, but...
Oh, exactly. And, like, I think it's more just, like, everything you do, like, it's always going to improve sort of thing. Like...
Oh, yeah.
It starts... Like, it's just, like, finding that niche, but also just, like, trying things. And that's what's the most important. And, like, going back to my job, I wasn't trying things, right? I was just kind of upkeeping technical things. It's not... I wasn't
doing stuff.
Building. I wasn't improving on my content, you know? So it's like,
yeah,
that's what it's all about, is just like everything you do, like there's always going to be something to learn from it in production and just like creating things. Right. So,
and playing to your strengths too, because I think what Alex and I, well, we actually just had this talk yesterday in a meeting, is when we're trying to create our content, which we want to start doing, you know, we are very ambitious when we first started Cryos. We're like, we're going to have this many videos a week and this and that. And at this stage, it's just not feasible because we don't even live in the same place. Everything's virtual with all our players. We don't have that fan base built yet. But regardless, we know now to play to our strengths, right? So Alex, like I said, you're really good at editing and filming, and I'm better at being creative and kind of coming up with the outlines and doing like writing and stuff. So we kind of have to work to what we know how to do, and then also you know, work on learning new things too and improving on that, right?
Yeah, exactly. And like, I think even since we were last on the podcast in March or April, we've learned a lot. Like,
so much.
We were, you're so right in saying that, like, even probably on that first episode, we were so like, let's do this. We're going to do this, all these things. And we had so many ideas. And even now we've kind of just learned like
pivot
how much it actually has to go into it and how much it all works, you know?
Exactly. And it's not that we won't do it. It's just that we won't do it yet because we don't want to put out stuff that sucks. We'd rather wait for a bit, work on our competitive teams, build that, start building the business while still doing creative stuff. We're not doing anything. We still have TikToks and everything. We're building up our Twitter with memes and videos and everything.
Yeah.
And we'll focus on the content when we can.
Exactly. And how, and like, for kind of like what you said, like, we want to make sure we put it out good, because if we're not passionate, we're not invested, or we're not proud of it, we want to make, how are you guys, like, our viewers, how are, like, how is the fan base going to be proud, you know? Like, that's the important thing to us, is like, we want to make sure it's hard hitting. It's not just like, you know, making a quota or just like putting something out for the sake of putting it out. We want to do it right.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Oh no, I know what you mean. And I think that's kind of our creative advantage, because a lot of big orgs do it perfectly. 100 Thieves, Envy, Optic, FaZe, where they have really good productions. What separates them from a lot of these smaller Canadian orgs or even American orgs is they don't create any content, and if they do, it's not good. So that's kind of our creative advantage, because both of us have knowledge in that area. And so that's why when we post something, we want it to be good, because it already, we can post our streams, for example, are better than what a ton of other people do. We've got compliments on it. We haven't even been consistent, and people still say it's really good. And we have some exciting things coming with that, which we can't say yet, but we have some good things coming because it shows that we've done good. Our little announcement videos are better than any other videos I've seen. They're just as good as the big orgs when they announce, like the little minute-long introductions to Here's Cryus Gaming and Rocket League. So that's why we want it to be good. And yeah.
Yeah, we're kind of also like, especially me, like, I'm super nitpicky. Like,
you can be. Sometimes a bit too much. I gotta be like, Alex, it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But no, I think we have like a much, compared to our first episode, I feel like we're much more clearer in like our vision, more clearer. I don't know. But we have a really strong vision. And I think like we're much more aligned and just like
trial and error
with that expertise we've already gained. You know, I think like, Our first attempts at streams and everything, our stream was good, but we got hit with so many external factors that we just did not see coming, didn't really think about, right? Like, I don't know if we want to go into too much detail. I don't think it really matters.
No,
but
who cares? Just
we had like issues with like TELUS Esports series almost every week. It was crazy, but we learned from that, you know? And like, now we're considering those experiences in our vision going forward. I know we can't say too much about what we have planned, because it's like we want to do it right, so we're taking time to make sure it's good.
Yeah.
But we've learned a lot like since then. It's crazy to me how much we've learned. Like, I thought, you know, even leaving just after graduating, I was like, everything's going so smooth.
Me too.
Only up from here. It's like we were so lucky to have
such
a great initial roster. Shout out to all of those guys, because everything started off so smooth, and then we're like, whoa, we're still a little inexperienced here. This is a new space to us.
Yeah.
We're trying to learn it. We gotta think about what's happening. We gotta like constructively formulate strategies based on what we've learned. And hopefully that's what's happening here. I feel pretty good.
I feel better now. I think the thing is, I'm about to blow your mind in a second, Alex, with one of these topics coming up about what our first announcement was on that podcast in April. Because it's funny to think about how far we've come. But before that, we were kind of naive, right? Because the amount of research we put in, because we were in a, like our Launchpad Accelerator class and whatever for like months. It was our last semester, so from January till like April we were in this class. So, you know, we're doing a lot of research, talking to a lot of people. We're like, this is easy, let's do it. And then it's as soon as, and we have all these big ideas, right? As we start doing it and we actually get a team, and we realize, okay, wait, we actually need to do some more work, more nitty-gritty things that we didn't think we'd have to do, that it stops us from thinking of this big vision. So we're a little naive, but then as Alex said, that experience we're learning from, we're building our team, we're getting more people on the team, we're building this thing up, and it's kind of just pivoting and just being like, hey, if we want to get this as our end goal, we have to maybe do these things first, and we can't reach that yet, but we will. So
no, yeah, I think like it's all about the experience, and like I said at the start of the episode, it's always everything improves with time and just like trial and error, like you said. It's
and you have to do it, because we could have sat back. Like, I remember this conversation. I remember we were already won money from our pitch. We were already good to go. We had our logo, we had our name. And remember, we were sitting there and I was just like, wait, why are we not getting, like, let's just get a team. And then the next week we had a team, because like, yeah, you have to do it, because we can think as much as we want, but until you do it, and we might fail. We failed in a few different ways, but you learn from those, and you'll never gain that experience if you don't act. So, you know, you gotta go out and do it. Don't be afraid to fail. We haven't made any money yet still. You know, we thought that maybe 6 months or where we're at now, we would be in a bigger spot. Like, just, I'm just talking like on social media or something. We thought we'd have tons of YouTube videos out. We thought we'd have maybe a couple sponsors. It's not that easy. We have to have a good team, exactly, which we're building. And you ready for me to blow your mind, Alex? You ready?
Oh, I'm pumped. So let's go.
I was listening back a little bit this morning to the podcast just so I knew what we kind of talked about. The very first episode, I'm talking April
29th. Yeah, yeah.
And near the end of the podcast, I'm like, okay, everybody who waited to the end of the podcast, let's do this announcement, Alex. Say what it is. I'm going to let you have one guess at what this announcement was.
Think back to April.
What would an
this
announcement
This has
got to
be that we were competing.
It's yes, crazy, right? Let's it was. Go. You actually got, yeah, I didn't think you'd get it, because I thought when we did the podcast, we already had our Rocket League team. We didn't.
No, we did not. Literally, we were going to, we proceeded to get smacked in that tournament. But
so yeah, that announcement was for the Edmonton Direct 2v2 tournament, which you and I competed in, and our ranks, we not only have we improved as an org, you and I personally have already improved in our Rocket League skills.
Rocket League, yeah, we were like gold. We were gold at the time.
I might have been silver, to be honest. I wow. Might have been. I'm plat one now. I did my placements. I'm solid. I'm in plat, so I'm happy. But
hey, that's pretty good.
We've improved. And then also, now, we already finished our Indie Gaming League season, but Alex and I decided to try 2v2 in again and did the IGL, what was it, fall circuit?
Yeah, fall circuit.
And that was okay.
First game, absolute banger. I'm so glad we streamed that one.
The only game we streamed. Explain it, Alex, how it worked out perfectly.
Well, we streamed the second game as well.
We did? Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah. And the second game we lost, but it still went to 5 games. But oh my god, that first game. So these guys, they decided to play their sub, which is probably part of the reason we won. It was the first game of the season. I think they were just testing their sub out. And I was like, yeah, cool. Because I don't know if like anyone else in IGL knew, but I think they could check our like rank.
Yeah.
So I think the people in our division knew we were bumped up. And like just from what I saw, I don't think anyone else in that division was bumped up. I'm willing to bet we were the only team that registered for the one below and opted to go up. Like,
I know.
Maybe other teams did, but we're like, nah, I don't want to go up, because like obviously what happened to us, we got smacked in some of our games. But that first game, man, holy, I'm so glad we're streaming it. Literally, I don't remember what the sequence of the games was. It wasn't like a sweep or a reverse sweep, right?
It wasn't, like, no. So what happened? I don't remember the exact sequence either, but basically it was, what are they, best of fives they were, right? So first one to win three games.
First of three.
So I think it was 1-1. Like, they won one, we won one, and then they got another game on us, and they were in the lead in that game by a lot. And, oh, dude, I think we're messing this up. I can't remember exactly how.
No, I'm pretty sure they were up 2-1, and then we won 2 games to come back.
We did do that.
I could check this, but
no, because we came back. It's just because the intense part was, like, I remember because we were streaming it, and in the comms, I was like, Alex, you know what we just have to do? Let's just make it so we win this game really quick, and then by a lot, like, let's win by a lot, because they'll be mad, and then we'll just take that momentum and win.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? We were like,
I do, yeah.
We were losing. I was like, dude, because they were beating us in that one game. Like, when it was 2-1. So if they would have won that game, they would have won the whole thing.
Won the series.
But instead, we came back and we won that game. And I was like, Alex, let's just blow them out of the water now. So then we did really good and we had the momentum and we won. And we were streaming and it was a big comeback and we had like decent viewership.
Chat was hype. I remember chat was going off. I was so happy. And I also, like, there's a clip out there somewhere, but I like scored an error. Like, it wasn't that good of a goal, but to me, it was an insane goal. I remember Lil Big Man T lost his mind. Like, he was so hype and chat was losing it. I just, That's I remember that because it was like goal of the year, Everyone was freaking out.
But yeah, and I think it was cool. Yeah, it was cool, like that aspect of it, because we could retain the same viewership basically that we get when our players play at the way high level. So we're like, you know what? At the end of the day, maybe it's not necessarily you have to watch like the biggest, highest, top level Rocket League or have certain players. Because like as we're building Cryos, that identity where people like know who we are, and although it's lower ranked Rocket League, lower tier, it's still competitive for our rank. And I think people still enjoyed that. And I think it was almost relieving for them because we did so bad and we were having fun with it that it was sweaty, but not for them. For them, it would have been easier. Yeah. So it was kind of funny for them in a sense.
No, I think like it was the fact that it was competitive, you know, like was awesome because it wasn't like high level competitive where you're expected to hit everything. Yes. In ours, there was a very solid chance someone just whiffed on that ball, you know, and like all of a sudden it's a goal chance.
Yeah.
Which like obviously it's not high quality, but it's a good meme and it's entertaining. Funny. So yeah, I think it was a lot of fun. I got really into it. I remember like my heart was racing.
Oh dude, I was sweating, my hands were shaking, the adrenaline, I was pumping, especially after we won. I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, and then we were like undefeated incoming into undefeated season, and then we lost every game after, or every series after that, I should say.
We literally, after that, guys, we were so hyped. We lost, like Alex, we lost every single series. We went 1-0 whatever else. Our record was the worst in the whole entire thing.
I honestly think, like, after our second game, I was like, I was not frustrated, but I was blown away because I'm pretty sure it was
overtime.
Winnable.
I think it was overtime.
And it was overtime, yeah. It was just like, ooh, but I was like, you know what? No, like, we're still good. I still had hope. But then game 3, we got absolutely smashed. And I remember I was tilted after that game.
Oh, yeah,
it was like, I was so glad we were streaming. Like,
we both said that. Yeah, we were both like, dude, I'm so glad we didn't broadcast this because we were actually mad.
Destroyed. And I was like, I don't know why I was tilted, but just like, these guys were kind of cocky too, you know?
Yeah,
like,
they're just being toxic and
yeah, like just a little too much. I was just like, oh man, that's
it's like,
tough.
Even if you're playing good, you do realize you're playing tier 5 Rocket League. Like, grow up.
Yeah, and like I'm like, even if it's like personally, I'm still competitive just by nature, especially when I played soccer back in the day.
Yeah.
So like, I wanted to win, even though I knew like the odds were stacked against us. Pardon me, but it was still a lot of fun. We played out the rest of our games. You know, our last series was against the team we beat, but they subbed in their captain. But it's still close.
That was
winnable,
too.
It was a fun game. Yeah, it was, like, we got 3-0'd, but, like, all the games were pretty fun. I think the second game, maybe not. But it was fun. It was a good experience. We got awarded. I do have one issue with IGL, though. There was this team in our division that was taking forfeits left and right.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The other teams were getting wins. And then the week we were supposed to play them, they actually contacted us. They set a date and time. And I was like, wow, this is going to be their first non-forfeit they're actually going to play. And then 30 minutes before they played, once again, I'm glad we weren't streaming this, 30 minutes, their captain was like, oh, my partner can't make it, we're just going to drop out of IGL.
And we were in game. We were already practicing, like playing games, warming up.
Yeah. So like, I was like, okay, that's fine. But like, submit like a forfeit before you disband. But either like, I guess they submitted the forfeit, IGL took them off the site, or they just disbanded before submitting the forfeit. But when I went to submit the forfeit, their team was just gone. That match was off the site. It wasn't even there. And I was like, well, we better get a win for this because like we booked it, we planned it. And then IGL didn't give it to us. We got dished out that loss. And I was like, are you kidding me? I was just like so baffled. We contacted them and they wouldn't give it to us. And I was like, are you kidding me? We had booked it. Like, I was like, I get it if like there was no correspondence at all. Like if we reached out and they didn't say anything, it's their third forfeit in a row. Whatever, I get it, but they actually like contacted us. We booked it, you know. So
and
that
they
was
were,
a really frustrating thing.
Yeah, and it's annoying because, again, like we don't want to, you know, talk too bad about all these leagues, but truthfully, IGL was not being helpful at all. Like we were like, dude, didn't you send screenshots or something? You're like, he literally said we're about to play.
So much, yeah. Like I sent screenshots, and also our main roster got banned.
Yeah,
nothing,
that's why we were
which
playing
is
this.
Why we played in it. So, like, I definitely think it's a well-run league, but, like, sometimes they just kind of, like, kick problems under the rug and hope they go away.
Yeah.
But, you know, I get it. Like, it's sometimes they don't want to squabble.
Or they have bigger things to worry about than Tier 5 Rocket League.
I'm not going to make a huge stink about it. I'm not going to say boycott IGL for it. But, honestly, the one we could say more for is for our players getting banned for an entire season for no like apparent reason at all.
That was
all,
so
but
stupid. Yeah, the dumbest whatever. Thing. Whatever,
like,
we'll see.
It was a fun experience, and I'm glad the streams we did put on like were positive and fun. You know, like
I agree.
It was a good experience, but we'll maybe, you know, like want or something, but I'd rather it be our actual skill level so we're not fighting an uphill battle, because it's like we weren't so outmatched that it wasn't competitive. Like, it wasn't like Edmonton Direct.
Exactly.
But we were still unmatched enough that, like, we were constantly defending. We were always fighting the uphill battle. So it was just, like, super frustrating in the close games, right? Especially.
Well, that's what.
Where, like, in fighting and then boom.
I was just going to say, that's exactly why I think we got angry and didn't have as much fun for our after we played our first couple of series. Because every single game that we played, we could have won. You know, there might have been a couple of games that we got beat badly, but all the series were relatively close, and even those games in the series were usually within a goal. And it just sucks because when you're the underdog the entire time and you have that ability to win, or maybe we'd have a lead and then we'd make a couple of little mistakes because that's not our skill level, right?
Yeah.
And then when you keep losing, and it's like, dude, like, we are getting so on everything, that little bad thing that could happen, every little miss, you know, event, misunfortunate, I don't think that's even a word. You know what I'm trying to say. Every little bad thing that could go against us did. And it'd be like, they get one goal with like 5 seconds left. And it's like, are you kidding me? Like,
it was just hard to play in. I'm proud of us for going to every match. We
me too.
Stuck it out. We
did try.
And we tried. And like, we were really good opponents just in general, like for scheduling and showing up and stuff. But
very good.
I definitely would do it again for fun.
But our skill level.
Our skill level. Because, like, I love competitiveness, but I want it to be competitive on both sides. Because for them, honestly, it was still probably pretty easy, you know? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It was competitive, but it can be more competitive. You know what I mean?
No, I do know what you mean. And I think that if we... I'll just say this right now, and I think you agree. If we were in the tier we're supposed to be in, we would have won the whole thing.
We would have competed, that's for sure. Because, like... at the start of this, when I found out we moved up, I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll try and play the game, get a little bit better.
Oh, yeah.
Because I go through phases. Like, sometimes I don't play Rocket League for a long, long time. But, like, at the start, IGL, I actually grinded for it. I was like, you know what? I'll get better. I'll improve. And maybe we can do something here. I got better, but, like, I was just like, I can't get as good. I can't be doing flip resets and...
crazy mechanics.
Air dribbles and stuff. So, I'll leave our players, you know, to put the grind time in. I don't need to worry about that stuff.
And then, like, the last thing about IGL and us competing, because we'll get onto some other things in a second here, but that is exactly that. You know, we're doing other stuff. We both have full-time jobs. We're trying to run the Cryos. We're trying to figure out rosters between this whole thing, like, trying to have meetings. Alex is working crazy hours.
And work, yeah.
And work, you know what I mean? Like, we are barely practicing and stuff, and, you know... We're not players. Like our practice we'd hop on half an hour before, maybe we'd get two games and be like, "Okay, hey, we're ready.
Let's go."
And that was it. So the fact that we did that good with like no practice or no replay reviews or any training, like dude, we just get on and play for fun.
It was fun. Yeah, like, and I think like some teams took it a little too serious.
We had one guy casted, like, remember?
Yeah, we actually got like a professional caster. I think it was the game we got stomped actually.
Yeah, well, I think only one game we got stomped. I think this series was relatively close, but we were just getting mad because we're like, you just give up at the end. You're like, what do you do? I don't even try.
Exactly. Fun, but yeah, I'll leave the grinding and, you know, being good at the game to the players. They're the experts. So.
Exactly. And now about our players. Last time we had this podcast, we did not have a roster. We didn't know where to find a roster. We didn't have any of that. And since then, we've had, what is it now, 3 iterations of the roster. And yeah, we still always have had Gary and Zuki have been our 2 main solid guys, especially Zuki for behind the scenes stuff. So shout out to Zuki. I know you listen to this. So there you go. There's your little shout out.
Yeah,
and,
no.
Yeah.
Zuki and Gary, they're the real deal. We are so lucky to have found these gentlemen. They are absolute legends, and Zuki puts in some hard work, and they are determined. You know, they're a good team. I'm super, super excited watching them lately, especially with our latest addition to the roster, Random. I'm a huge fan of Random. I'm a Random fanboy. But Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I think we didn't like we. I guess you might have like met Zugi by the time we like virtually.
I
By the
don't
time
think
we were
so.
filming,
I don't
maybe
think
not.
so.
Eh.
No.
Oh yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like I'm so happy. Like I was really worried that the roster process would take a while, but I was also worried like it wouldn't go as seamless as it has. Like you know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
it. Like Zuki and Gary been with us since day one,
Since
and they're
May.
still here. Yeah, it's crazy. So, no, I'm really happy with like our roster and just like our players are such good competitors too. They've got the elite mentality that I have so much respect for, and yeah, it's kind of crazy how like fast it all kind of happened and
Yeah.
how it's been going so far, you know?
But even just looking back to the first roster that we ever had was Zuki, Gary, and P. Siffle. I don't even know if we had any subs or coaches or anything. And then we had, for like, I don't know, a couple of weeks, we had Gary, Zuki, Toon Lunk. But then during that time, also, we added Django as a sub, who's also really good at freestyle and stuff.
Yeah.
And we also have Coach Lemon as a coach. So we added a couple other people to that roster. Some solid, because before that, like when we needed a sub, they would just contact somebody that they knew, but it wasn't like a solid sub. We also didn't have a coach to do anything with them. And then the roster that we have now, as Alex said, is Zuki, Gary, Random, Django as our main sub, and Lemon as our coach. So we've also like built out that roster a bit, and we've had our ups and downs, you know, and I think all the players will attest to that. Even just a couple days ago, they had a tournament that didn't go well, and I feel bad because like you know that they want to do good. But they're still a new team, like the main three of
Yeah.
them. They've only been playing together for a couple of weeks, isn't it?
No, I think like yeah, about that for sure. And I swear there's so many events where we get matched up with like the winners or finalists in the early
Yeah.
rounds. But like it's the we want the high quality competition. Like losing is not a bad thing. Obviously, losing sucks, but it's like it's where improvement happens. If you coast every game, you know, things start to get a little complacent or, you know, competition is good. Going back, like that goes back to IGL, right? But yeah, no, they're super exciting to watch for sure. And I forget where I was going with that, but I'm so also very happy. You know, we have Django as a set sub, also a nasty freestyler, so good at that.
Yeah.
And Lemon doing the VOD reviews, I always see them in the calls. So it's like they're practicing, they're working hard, and they're focused on improvement. So
And we're
yeah,
seeing the
you're.
improvement. That's
Yeah,
the key
yeah.
thing is 'cause I want to say right now that what I meant by like we've had our ups and downs, I mean like the players, they'll have some games where like they're winning, they're doing really good, and then sometimes where they're losing or getting matched up with like the team that wins it all, and then I think gets in their head sometimes, which we understand a little bit because in IGL we had the same thing where we'd get in our heads and be like, why can't we just win? You know what I mean? But we're seeing
Yeah.
improvements now, and I think that's where I want them to just keep practicing, keep grinding, and we've seen these flashes of the potential that they have, and that's not even the max potential. And what I'm talking about is in Blackline Championship Series, which is a great league that we're in,
Awesomely.
we, you know, started out with Toon Lunk in the roster, so it was like kind of rocky because we had Toon Lunk, and then we had Random. Or we actually had Django for one of the games, and we had Random for another game. So they've been kind of switching around players and been losing, and I feel like that can be a little disheartening sometimes. But they did some replay reviews, they've been practicing as a team, and they actually won their last Blackline Championship Series match against a team that was undefeated. So they stopped them from being undefeated,
Yeah.
and that was a really good victory.
No, it was super hype. I was glad I was able to catch that game in my last days of work.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think like going through rosters like that can be very tumultuous. I think that's the right time to use that word.
Nice.
But like it's hard because you want to find your rhythm, you know, you want to start actually building strategy and just like the
Chemistry.
confidence, chemistry. Yeah, chemistry. That's what I'm looking for. But also these like our roster, they're mad like I'm sure they're having kind of the same roadblocks as us. Like they're busy with school, their jobs, like everything they're doing too. So it's like sometimes I feel like it can be hard to put in the motivation to, you know, grind and get better. Like especially I know I like after a couple of bad games, I do not want to touch Rocket League
Oh, I
for a
get
long
mad.
time. You got but like that like determination to just like keep grinding. I have so like I cannot do that with Rocket League.
Me
That is
neither.
I will never be able to. And then on top of that, like these are very busy guys, and like it's really hard to manage. So like the commitment to improvement is just like so important in all this, because as soon as you lose that like commitment to like hold yourself accountable and like improve, which are like, I know our players have that mentality, that's when like you start to lose, you know, the improvement and not find that full potential. It's important to have, hope I said that right. It's important to have,
you said it opposite, that, like, but it's okay.
Sorry. Yeah. I got a little lost in my words there, but no, you know exactly what I mean. Like, yeah. It's super important, and it's difficult. It's challenging.
Alex is funny.
Yeah, Zuki, I knew I got it backwards.
Zuki's going to listen and just be like, huh?
What?
No,
what?
Zuki, what? Zuki, I'm speaking to you specifically, but to also everybody listening. You know what Alex meant. He meant you have to have that mentality, which you guys have, to keep improving, because the moment you stop being motivated is the time when you stop doing well. But you guys don't do that. You're the opposite of that. You're motivated, yeah. You're grinding, you're practicing.
I got lost in my
way. We all know what you meant. I just wanted to clarify, because I heard that, and you're like, and that's exactly what our players are like. And I was like, no, you meant that's what they're not like.
They're not like, yeah, like, as soon as I said it to you, I was like, wait, I just got that backwards. No. I recognize it.
Long no, it's okay. It's funny. We're keeping this in, by the way, Alex, because we explained it great, and it's fine.
Yeah. Talking is hard.
It can be. It can be, but I think we're both good at it. Let's admit, this is why having a podcast is nice, because we can both talk.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's nice to catch up anyways as well. I forget what I was going to say about the roster, but it's been great.
Great roster. Very exciting.
It's been great. It's been exciting. We're seeing improvements. I think they're seeing improvements. They're getting more confident. They're building that chemistry. And Random has been a great addition. He's also, here's the funny thing. I think we can say this now because, you know, he's been a part of Cryos for like over a month. We were originally going to sign him as a content creator, as our second content creator. And then all of a sudden we got a message from Zuki one day being like, I think Random might be our third. And we were trying to push for that because we wanted him to be our third.
Yeah. And I was a huge fan of that. When I heard that was a possibility, I was hyped because, yeah, I'm a huge fan of Random. You know, like, even we had all this banter back. For those of you who don't know, Random was kind of like the captain of Metallic 9, which is a team that competed against us and we scrimmed with quite often,
all the time,
and we bantered a lot on Twitter and had a lot of fun. But also Random was always there for like a lot of our content. Like, he was a huge part from the beginning, and I was a huge fan of that. And then hearing that he was interested in a content creator role, I was like, let's go. But then hearing he was interested, and Zuki being interested in the player role, I got hyped. Like, I was over the moon because I'm just a huge fan of Random, and his content, fantastic, impeccable. We should like link it in the description or something. But also his mentality, again, super good for Rocket League, and he's pretty cracked, I must say.
Yeah, and he's improving. And I think Zuki and Gary, from a technical standpoint, they are like a bit higher ranked, but I think working together as a team, they're gonna be really good. And Zuki is the captain, helping work all this through and keeping everybody on track. Zuki organizes everything. He literally organizes when they're playing. He keeps everybody in track. And, you know, Gary's been streaming a lot more. I've seen Zuki streaming sometimes too. And Random just creates memes for us and everything. So I think we have a really good thing going. And I'm really happy with this roster. And I'm excited to see where this goes.
Yeah, everyone's doing a lot of work. I think that's one thing. Is like, I think even we didn't quite realize how much actually goes into like management, you know?
We did not know that. That's what we did not know.
Even, I think this might have been before we recorded, but at first we were like, the problem is events, but that's not true. The events are out there. Problem is organizing and coordinating and like getting to those events and everything going smoothly. Like, you always kind of have to go into like competitive streams that we put on with your fingers crossed, you know, like just hoping everything works. So managing that, keeping everybody in check, like that is a lot of work.
What we learned, kind of reiterating what you said, is back when we were first starting Cryos, we thought that the biggest problem in esports and Canadian esports and stuff was that there were no events to attend. But then, as Alex just said, there are events, but the hardest part is, well, that we found at least, and this is where we're redoing how we're going to approach streaming, is they're not very media friendly, to say the least, for what we're trying to do. Content friendly.
Well, so the best events put on their own stream, but it's hard to pull content from that because you can't just take someone else's content and call it your own. That's like,
plagiarizing.
That's not exactly how it works. Yeah, exactly. So we like our plan for that was to just create our own content. But as you said, Jordan, a lot of this stuff was not too media friendly, whether it was cancellations or like tournament rules or even just like sometimes the technical side of things. But
yeah,
it was so hard. And at the end of the day, you have this FOD that inherently, like a lot of them were kind of hectic because the start time would be pushed back. It would be sooner. We would try and run 1v1s, but then it's time to switch to the game off. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it was so hard to manage those like competitive events that it almost like the content part was even harder to pull from the stream because it was just like, oh my God, a lot of this is just ad-libbing and like not really coordinated. It was still looked good, you know, like the broadcast looked good. We had some phenomenal casters. But at the end of the day, it wasn't really planned and it was kind of hard to pull content from something that was just us ad-libbing. You know what I mean?
It was out of our hands. And I think that's the part that we didn't like and that we didn't foresee being an issue because we thought, hey, we have an IGL game coming up, or hey, we have a TELUS Esports Series game coming up. Let's stream it. So we'd do, you know, we'd be streaming for an hour before the game and stuff, and Zuki would be trying to coordinate with whatever's happening. And then, you know, there's either an instance a couple of times where the other team, like Zuki did, I want to say Zuki did a great job of trying to reach out and saying, can we stream this? Can we have a spectator? And they're just going to be casting. They're not our coach, whatever, whatever. But the amount of times that we would just get
radio silence
from people, or we'd be streaming and the other team would say no, and then we'd try to get, you know, backing from the what would they be called, the tournament organizers, and they would give us nothing. They would not help us at all, or technical issues on the websites where it would say we had a one roster and we didn't, or they wouldn't let us play certain things, or, you know, Zuki would all of a sudden text us as we're already live and be like, the other team needs to push it back by like an hour, and we're like, oh my goodness, like that. Yeah. It was out of our hands. And it's not Zuki's fault, but it's that unknown
organization. Yeah, the unknown, which is why it's like the best competitive events are the ones that have streams planned.
Exactly.
I think we would love to make streams, but well, maybe we'll maybe competitive events are something we could like look at.
Yeah.
But that's like a whole nother facet of being an org. Like we got to get our competitive stuff here figured out before we can start doing it for
others,
for like wide scale events. But yeah, we have solutions to that. We just can't say them yet, unfortunately. Exactly. I wish we could. I wish we could talk about it, but
it's too early. But well, what we can say is that I think one of the biggest things that we learned, back to kind of your point about management, is that we learned that when there's just two of us behind the scenes doing a lot of this stuff, we can't feasibly do the stream, make YouTube videos, help our team, try to, and then, because what we noticed is we'd get bogged down putting tweets out because we forgot that would be a thing we have to do, and trying to organize with Zuki and being like, hey, when are you guys going to play next? How's this going? How do you want to run the stream? We got so bogged down with that that we completely forgot about all the big ideas we had with Cryos. We've completely forgot about our vision. And that's where now I think we're rewinding back to what we want our vision to be, taking away currently from some of our creative stuff, but then again, re-implementing it. That's in our hands. That's all I'm going to say about that live streaming stuff. I don't want to spoil anything, but we're going to be releasing stuff soon.
We're excited. We are working on it. There's a lot going on behind the scenes. We cannot give any of it away yet.
It's too special. Folks, even today, Alex had some meetings with people. I've had meetings with people just in this past week. Like, you know what I mean? We're building these connections again. We're trying to get back to our roots of what we wanted Cryos to be. And we're also realizing that sometimes that means expanding our team. So I remember, Alex, at first we were like, we don't want to have too many people because we're not at that point yet. You know what I mean? Like, we don't have too many people to manage or anything. But now it's kind of the opposite where it's like, we need people to help us so we can focus on the business and running the stuff that we know how to run.
Yeah. And also provide the adequate support that, like, we've always wanted to like, our players and, like, just members of Cryos, right? Like, the whole vision with Cryos was to create this awesome community that builds each other up and stuff like that. So like, that's another thing like we're trying to kind of come back to and figure out how we do that, which we also have plans for, but I won't talk too much about those yet either.
Yeah. Unless the thing you were talking about was it the server?
Well, that, and also just like, well,
spoils I'm not gonna, it. Yeah. I'm okay. Not gonna, if it can, wasn't the server, don't say it on this. I just thought if it was a server, we can talk about that. Cause it's up. If anybody lives in Alberta, we have, well, they can't just find it, but we're trying to create a Rocket League Alberta server, and that way it's building the community outside of Cryos and more generally Rocket League, because that's some things that we learned is in order for, you know, whether that's nonprofits or other orgs or anything to kind of take us seriously, or Rocket League, sorry, to include Rocket League in like events. There has to be that community built. And we thought at first that would just be Cryus, but then we realized that might be too specific for some people. So we want people who would just like Rocket League to get in there and build a community. But we're the ones who are putting it on. Nobody probably even knows who we are if we start getting people on that server. Like, we don't yet because we haven't, you know, put that much work into it. But
we haven't been sharing it too much yet.
Yeah, but if, you know, when we get to that point, people that don't, you might not even know who we are, but just know that we are the ones who made that. We're the facilitating it.
Yeah. Hopefully. You know what I mean? I'm still educating myself a bit on Discord, but I want to... It's hard to, like, kind of on that note, it's, like, hard to prioritize what I want to educate myself on when it comes to stuff like this, too.
Just in general, you know? It's hard.
I'm going down, like, another facet here, but straight up, like, there's so much to learn and so many intricacies with some of this, like, especially, like, even with Rocket League. But, like, you think about, like, Discord, you think about streaming, you think about Rocket League. Like, none of this stuff is taught in university.
No.
And we're kind of just jumping into it head first with the fundamentals that we learn. But, like, the nitty-gritty, you got to teach yourself. It's you don't get a prof provided to you to learn OBS. You don't get that for, you know, learning how Discord bots and all that stuff work. And, like,
building a website, doing everything. Yeah.
And even like, these Rocket League videos, like the announcement ones, there's so many capabilities in there that I haven't even tapped. Like, I like playing with the colors and the speeds, but, like, there's, like, dolly cam, like, path, like types of, like, moves and, like, oh, it's like this never-ending
cycle. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's so, I think one thing, like, that I've personally struggled with, it's hard to, like, get concrete things done when it feels like there's, like, mountains for the, like, just figuring out the stuff to an optimal level, you know?
Yeah, where it's just average, even, you know, like, where you're like, okay, I've learned enough about this where this can be decent.
Yeah,
exactly. It's all brand new, and that's what we didn't know going into this, and we're not complaining about this at all. We're, if anything, we're saying, like, it's kind of exciting, but it's also something that if anybody out there is looking to start an org or anything, there's gonna be a ton of stuff that you will not be taught in school or anything. You have to kind of learn yourself. And if you're in the States, maybe it's a bit easier. You might have people who you can mentor or be mentored by. But for us in Canada, we've tried. It's hard to find other people who are also doing this. So that's what we're trying to learn on our own. And hey, maybe we're doing it the harder way, but I think at the end of the day, the more that we know, the better we're going to be at running this.
Yeah. We're getting hands-on experience. And, like, I don't know about, well, I know you, but I'm really excited for LAN events to start. Get out and actually, like I want this pandemic to be over so I can talk to people. I can say hi. I can shake hands. I can network. I want to get to these events. You know, I want to be able to go watch
vlog
Gary and Random on the main stage against a team at a LAN event. You know, like, vlog. Like, there's so many possibilities there. So that's something I'm personally super, super, like, excited, anxious for.
Yeah.
But I agree that, like, starting, like, it's not easy. And I think, like, even we jumped into it thinking it was going to be easier than it actually was. But we also have, like, great business level mentors. It's really hard to find those esports mentors that, like, that, like, are willing to, like, work with you in a localized setting. Like, we've talked to some remarkable people, like, networking. But it's hard to find, like, it's not easy to just be like, hey, mentor us, you know, like
exactly
guide us, because it's a commitment, it's a time commitment. They have to, like, for someone to want to mentor, they have to believe in it and see it. It's just, like, hard to find someone local that, like, you trust, I guess, you know.
Yeah from,
it's really hard, especially online.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, I think, the biggest thing will be once we can start being back in person at LAN events. See, where I live, it's a little different because I live in a smaller town now. Well, I mean, you do too, but let's just say Calgary is a huge city, like 1.5 million people. Like, you know, COVID's a little worse there. Where I'm living, I go to the office, I'm out at events filming. You know, obviously we have precautions in place, but I'm kind of, like, out and about. I'm like, hey, let's bring back some LAN events and stuff. But it's not that case everywhere, you know?
Yeah, and it's just, like, the world's not ready yet. And
exactly.
It makes sense. Yeah. One day.
And we have, I think, just last thing kind of to touch on regarding that is just, we have so many fun things that we want to do, and I have experience, like, through radio doing promotions and stuff at events. Like, live events is what we want to really do badly. That's where we can get content. That's when we can actually meet our players and see them play and get the Cryus built up. We need to make merch for that. We need to, get signed. You know what I mean? Like, it's so much exciting stuff. But at this point, we're like, well, why would we even make merch? Like, who's going to, where are we going to show that being worn? We're not, we're not even in person anywhere.
We're definitely like, I think it's smart that we're saving funds right now, you know, like,
yeah,
like, we're not trying to ball out on all this merch right away. And then like no one buys it, or we just end up giving it all away, or it sits in our closets. Like, the time will be right, and I think we'll know exactly when that is. But I do think like COVID is a barrier with that, because the whole part of being in an org is the entertainment and event experience, right? Like, it's the same as going to a hockey game, going to any sports game, right? Like, you want to, it's about the experience. That's why people go to them, and exactly, that's why they get passionate. So I'm tired of this COVID thing. I want it to be over, and like, hopefully soon, because we are anxious to get out there and like actually do things. Like, not saying that we're not doing things here, we're building things
in person.
Here, but I want to I love being a people person. I love events. I'm passionate about competing in my team and just like meeting people, you know? Like, I think one of the first things we were taught in university was the importance of storytelling, and everybody has a story, and we want to try and bring those stories to life with Cryos as well, you know?
Yeah, and I think just another side note to that is, it's not just events and stuff, but it's also building Cryos in person. Like, Alex and I, we have built this thing. We only met up one time in person.
Yeah.
To go meet with some lawyers. Remote. That's it. Everything's been remote. But what we dream of, our main goal is to have a space, whether it's a library, we don't know yet, but a space where we can go at least once a week in person, build this up, find people in the community to help us build this, and like have that family community setting for Cryos. The Cryos crew we want in person one day. That's, I think, a really big goal. And then obviously going to events and stuff, like Alex said, there's the two ends. Events, in person, and also just building Cryos and having everybody here. Like, you know how much more fun that would be? How much content we could make, man, if we were in person, Alex? If you and I were literally together, we could vlog. I could post stuff on my channel. We could do the podcast in person. I could have guests come in. We could have, you know what I mean? Like, it'd be so much better.
Exactly. And like, I think that's like, it's just so much more productive. I think everybody knows working online, like, it works, but it's not optimal. And no matter what you do, no matter how much you optimize Zoom, no matter how much you, you know, like, create online workspaces, the real stuff happens in an in-person setting too.
Yeah, and I think with big businesses, maybe they're okay because they have such a big foundation that people can be remote, because it's like, hey, you have this deadline, make this, do that. But for a small business like us, and especially for esports, we need to be in person. As much as we can do stuff online, like, we want to build that. And especially for us, maybe some people don't want to, and that's fine. But the way that we want to run Cryos, we want people in person. We want to be here in person, build it in person. We like people. We like being around people. And we both know that we work better when we're together in person in a space that's away from our main computer at home.
Exactly. No, I couldn't agree more, sir.
Yes. Off my list, we crossed everything, which is awesome. And honestly, I don't know if I have much to add. I just want us to get exactly to an hour, because that'd be the first time that's ever happened on the podcast. Or no, maybe it's not. I think Braden and I talked a lot.
No, yeah, no. Since we're not cutting my little talking where I couldn't speak English.
It's okay. We covered it up easily enough. Everybody will understand.
The bases. They get it. No, it was great to be on the podcast. It's just great to chat like this too, you know? Like, it's how I think it's helpful for us too, so... No, thanks for having me back on the show. I can't believe it's been so long. It doesn't feel like it's been that long.
I know, and that's what I was just going to say. The crazy part is that it was 8 months ago you were last on this, when I decided, oh, I'm going to start doing the podcast again. That, dude, I had 28 episodes. Like, this is the 28th episode. Isn't that nuts?
It's a real deal. This is the show, man. I love it.
And yeah, it's just crazy. Like, the amount of stuff that's happened in that span of time, yet it feels like it was yesterday.
Exactly.
Like, we've graduated, we both moved away, we started jobs. It's insane.
Yeah, it goes by fast, but usually that means you're doing something. If it goes by slow, you're not doing anything. So no, I'm really excited for what's to come. We've got some very critical months ahead. Like these the December, January, February, March, they're gonna be big months for us. And
especially the new year.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be a grind, but I think the stars will align, and we'll go hard for that pitch competition in April, May, and
see what
I think
happens.
I think we both can agree that there are exciting things coming.
Yeah.
And we are working very hard to make sure we do it the right way as well.
And I think we will get there. And just like you said, the stars will align and Christ, the Titan of the constellations, will come on down and rain victory over our victims.
Constellations over.
Yeah, rain sky. Fiery balls of gas all over.
Exactly. That makes it scarier.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, thank you for being on the podcast. And thank you, everybody, for listening to, I hope this is episode 28. Otherwise, it's really embarrassing if this is like 29 and I've been saying 28. But thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll be back next week, everybody. I don't know if it'll be just me. Maybe I'll have another guest on. I never know till the day before. It's what you love to see. You don't know. I don't know. That's what makes it so fun.